The preschool and the nursery are open for those of you parents that want to take your children there. So. Good morning. Nice to see you all today. It's a free lunch day. Are we having chicken?
Turkey.
That's close. Turkey. All right. Last week, I think it was, we sent Abigail back to Australia. Y'all got the, was it last week? No. Was it last week she talked? No. 2 weeks before. Okay, I get mixed. Okay. Was it? Yeah. Yeah, we sent her out last week, and then tomorrow we send our other family back to South Africa, so we're... Things aren't going to be too joyful around the house, except in God, you know. Thank you, Jesus. Prayed for our kids all of our life that they might grow up and serve God, and guess what? They did. Now we got to deal with it. Anyway, it's good to see y'all. I'm going to try to be very kind and loving today, even though that's not my nature. But it's God's nature, so somebody say, get with it. Get with the program. Yeah, get over it. Die and get over it. That's what I used to, when I lived in New York, I used to pastor up there. In fact, we're going up next week to visit some friend of ours in New York. And my friend, Gary, he was from Long Island. He was a New Yorker all the way, died through. And, you know, things would happen that you didn't like, you know, and he'd say, you just got to die and get over it. You know, and, you know, that's about the truth sometimes. You just got to die and get over it, don't you? God help me to die and get over it. Lord Jesus. Well, we are in Acts chapter 10 and 11 today. The last part of 10 and the first part of 11. So, if you have your Bible, I'm going to read the first part of this. I'm going to read chapter 10, 34 through 48. So, if you'd like to stand while we read this, kind of get you up. Well, you were already standing a little bit while ago, so those of you who were sitting, you can stand. Yes, if you were standing. That's too complicated. All right. Verse 34 of chapter 10 of Acts. It says, "And opening his mouth, Peter said, I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality, but in every nation the man who fears him does what is right is welcome to him. The word which he sent the sons of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he's Lord of all. You yourselves know the thing which took place throughout all of Judea, starting from Galilee after the baptism which John proclaimed. You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, and God was with him. We are witnesses of all these things. He did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, and they also put him to death by hanging him on a cross. God raised him up on the third day and granted that he should become visible, not to all the people, but to witnesses who were chosen beforehand by God, that is to us, who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he ordered us to preach to the people and solemnly testify that this is the one who's been appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. And of him all the prophets bear witness that through his name everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who were listening to the message. And all the circumcised believers who had come with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out upon the Gentiles also, for they were hearing them speaking with tongues and exalting God. Then Peter answered, Surely no one can refuse the water for these to be baptized who've received the Holy Spirit just as we did, can he? And he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to stay on for a few days. Okay, you may be seated. I'll read the next 18 verses later. This is a lot to talk about. I mean, just this section alone is enough to talk about, but I've got another 18 verses, so it's a lot to kind of bring it together. So I've asked God, you know, when you're talking out of the book of Acts, you're really telling stories. You know, you're just kind of like telling a story. I mean, you're reading an event that happened. It's not like reading the first chapter of Romans and trying to put theological thoughts together. You're just taking a story and you're trying to say, okay, what's going on here? What's happening here? Is it something that, you know, that's important? Or why would God put this in here? This is what you got to say. Why was this story in here? What was this all about? You know, that's kind of what you got to do. And I want to go back. I appreciate what Brad shared last week. He kind of brought us back into Acts with, you know, going back and bringing it forward. And then he didn't get it. He wanted to preach what I'm preaching today, I think, but he didn't get to. Ha ha. So, so anyway, but I want to go back and talk about a little bit about this guy Cornelius, okay? The Bible says in verse 2 of chapter 10, it says he was a devout man. He's a devoted man, very sincere man. And it says he feared God with all of his household. And it says he gave many alms to the Jewish people. He was a giver. He gave. You know, that's a sure sign of a man who's had something happen in his life with God is he gives. I heard a famous preacher one time say, tightwads are always full of the devil. But I don't know. I won't quote him. But anyway, he gave a lot of alms, you know, because he wanted to be a blessing to the Jewish people. And it says he prayed to God. It doesn't say he prayed to God. It says he prayed to God continually. He was a constant prayer. He was constantly praying. Now, you think, in my mind, my simple mind like this, I'm thinking, why would God have to spend any time on this guy? Why would he have to go to all that trouble? Giving him a dream, giving Peter a vision, to send Peter over. Why would God have to do this? This guy seems to be okay. He's all right. No. He needed Jesus. Are you hearing me? He needed Jesus. And the Lord of the harvest, which is Jesus, he's the Lord of the harvest. His spirit and him are the lords of the harvest. They direct all this. They orchestrate all this. And God, seeing his heart, in fact, he told Cornelius, a memorial's been set up. God's put a memorial before heaven for you. There's a memorial up in heaven. Your prayers have become a memorial. And God was, I think God, is there a ringing in here? Is that me? Oh, okay. Because sometimes, you know, when you get my age, things start ringing. And there's a bell ringing somewhere. Anyway, Cornelius, you know, his heart was, he was a man, and God loved this man. God cared about this man. And God wanted to give him the good news about Jesus. He wanted him to have it. And so the Lord of the harvest, sometimes the Lord of the harvest sends us to difficult people to reach. And other times he sends us to those who are very open and receptive. And in this situation, from what it appears, the man was very open and very receptive. You know, I mean, when he found out that there was a guy named Peter, he sent a guy over there, he dispatched him. He didn't just say, well, come into my house and let me hear what you got to say, and if it's worth hearing, I'll tell the rest of my family. No, he got everybody together that knew him, gathered him into his house to hear what the word that the Lord had given Peter. Now, as we read, he already heard about Jesus. He knew about Jesus. I mean, it wasn't like Cornelius had never heard the name of Jesus, because Peter said here, you yourselves know the things which took place throughout all Judea. And it says here, you know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him. They knew all that about Jesus. They just did not know the finishing touch of what Jesus was all about, how God had made him Lord of all, raised him from the dead. He says, he convinced him of that. He said, after he raised from the dead, we sat down with him and had supper. We ate and we drank with him. He was alive. He presented himself to us. He was giving him the facts. Giving him the facts of what had taken place. And so he was elevating in the minds of Cornelius and his household, he was elevating his understanding of who this Jesus was. He wasn't just a man who had done things. He was the man that God had appointed as a judge. What did he say here? He's appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. Now you want to make sure you note that. He's going to be the judge of the living and the dead. That's a pretty high exalted position. And when they're hearing all this. So Peter speaks to Cornelius and his household about Jesus. He told them about the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. He told them about that by believing in Jesus, they would receive the forgiveness of sins. And at this point, the Holy Spirit just took over. I was reading this a few weeks ago, and I was thinking about how the Holy Spirit just kind of moved in, took over. And the thoughts came to my mind about how the attributes of the Holy Spirit are similar to water. You ever notice in the Bible sometimes it speaks of the Holy Spirit like water? And so even in the Old Testament there's a lot about water. And I think Jesus said in the New Testament, which says he was speaking of the Spirit by which, out of your belly would flow, you receive the Holy Spirit, out of your belly would flow the rivers of living water. The Bible says he was speaking of the Spirit. So Jesus himself compared the Holy Spirit to water. But even in the Old Testament, it talks a lot about the parallel between the Holy Spirit and water. And so I got to thinking about the attributes of water. What does water do? Well, one thing water does, it takes the path of least resistance. Did you know that? That's why rivers meander. They hit a hard spot, they just turn and go the other way. And I think the Holy Spirit's a lot like that with people. He hits a hard spot, he just turns and goes somewhere else. He moves and goes somewhere else. And I think in God's omniscience, he knew that this wasn't going to be a hard spot. Cornelius' household wasn't going to be a hard spot. He knew that. I think he wanted us to see this, because there was no hesitation here. It wasn't like the Jews bantering back and forth and arguing about. There was no argument here. You see that from the event that happened. But let's go back into the Holy Spirit and some of the... I got kind of impressed thinking about this. First of all, what does water do? It cleanses, doesn't it? Water cleanses. The Holy Spirit cleanses our hearts, doesn't he? And it refreshes us. The Bible talks about the Holy Spirit refreshing us and giving us times of refreshment. There's life in the Holy Spirit. There's life in water. Everybody knows that. Without water, we wouldn't be here, would we? But let me just give you a few more thoughts on this. Water is H2O, I understand. That's the formula for water. Two parts hydrogen, one part oxygen. If you separate those two elements are some of the most flammable elements in the universe. By flammable, I mean the sun, is hydrogen. And it burns like the Dickens, doesn't it? I mean, it really burns like the Dickens. That's Indiana for you. It burns bad. I mean, it's hot. I was sitting there this morning early and watching the sun come through my window. And I just thought, man, we sure have a lot of faith to believe that thing's not going to do something crazy. I mean, there's a lot of heat there. I forget what the temperature is at the core of the sun, but it's very hot. And it's hydrogen. It's hydrogen. And without the sun, if the sun would suddenly go dark, everything would instantly freeze and we'd all be gone. Right? But let's go the other way. Oxygen. We're all breathing right now. Oxygen keeps us alive. Doesn't it? Isn't it interesting that God made a substance called water? That's made up of two things that are very flammable. And yet you put them together in the right proportions and it becomes something that we drink and we wash in. I was just getting kind of overwhelmed with this today. I don't know about you. Now, I didn't dance like Sean, but I was about to. I was thinking about this. And you know, the Bible says he'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And I got to thinking about that concept of water and both of them being very flammable. It's like the Holy Spirit can impart fire when he wants to. It's like he can break down and become fire in our bones and fire in our lives and burn in us. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. See, the power that believers are to receive is not in a substance, it's in a person. Power of God is in a person, the Holy Spirit. He's the one that gives us power. It's a person. It comes alongside of us. It becomes a part of us. And so we see this happening after Peter, well, Bible says Peter was still speaking. It's almost like Peter got interrupted by the Holy Spirit, you know? He got interrupted, and it says he fell on them. I did a little study on that word fell. It's the same thing as embraced. It's the same word as embrace. Somebody, you know, we do a lot of that embracing stuff around here, you know. People, well, you embrace somebody, you know. You care about them and you embrace them. You're glad to see them and you embrace them. It's almost like the Holy Spirit just embraced these people. Now, you got to understand, he's big enough, he can embrace a whole bunch of folks at once. He embraced a whole bunch of them at one time. They all just got embraced by the Holy Spirit. Fell, embraced. The idea is, you know, like the old man when he ran down the road to the prodigal, you know, the Bible says he fell on his son and kissed him. It's almost that same concept in this scripture where the Holy Spirit just fell on them because it was like he was welcoming them home or welcoming them in or bringing them in and saying, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're a part of this. It's a welcoming. He fell on them. And then the Bible tells us that they spoke in tongues and exalted God. We see a similar experience here happening that happened in Acts 2 when the disciples first received the Holy Spirit. Well, here there was no rushing wind. There was no cloven tongues of fire. All those things were in the beginning, but a similar experience. And there wasn't a crowd of people around hearing them speak in these languages. There was just these people here. The Jewish guys were here. They probably all spoke a similar language, although probably the Gentiles might have spoke some dialect or another. But they understood what was happening. The disciples that were there understood what was taking place. And you see Peter saying, he confirmed what was happening when he said, they have received the Holy Spirit just as we did. Just as we did. So we can't refuse them water. What I see in all this is there's kind of like there's not necessarily an order to everything in God's kingdom. I mean, I know the thing is you get saved and then you get baptized in water, but it doesn't seem like this is necessarily an order that took place in other places. You see in Samaria, back in Acts, I believe it was Acts 8, where the people were saved, and I think they'd already baptized them in water. And then they sent for the disciples to come down and pray for them to receive the Holy Spirit. So here it was just kind of the other way around in a lot of ways. And it all happened simultaneously. In this particular instance, it seems like they had everything in order. All they had to do is hear this message about Jesus, who he was, and they quietly and silently in their heart just embraced Jesus. And as they embraced Jesus, the Holy Spirit embraced them. That seems to be what's taking place here. Now, you got to understand, I'm not speaking theologically. I'm just speaking from what I'm understanding here is taking place out of this story. Well, let's go on and read chapter 11, verses 1. You can stay seated for this. Chapter 11, the first 18 verses. The reason I'm reading this is because I want you to see it all in context. Now, the apostles and the brethren who were throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. You know, to us that seems like, you think? You know, but back then these guys were all Jews and nobody that was Gentile was involved in it. I tell the guys up the jail, we're all Gentiles. You know, when I talk to them about Jewish-Gentile things, I said, we're Gentiles. You know, unless there's anybody Jewish here, and there was nobody Jewish there, so I said, we're all Gentiles. Anybody that's not a Jew is a Gentile. They have to understand that, you know. And so they didn't understand that Gentiles could be a part of this thing either. I know that seems a little dumb, but that's just where they were at as Jewish people. That's why God had to give Peter that vision. And when Peter came to Jerusalem, those who were circumcised, they're just basically talking about Jews here, circumcised. Those who were circumcised took issue with him, saying, you went to uncircumcised men and ate with them. Peter began speaking and proceeded to explain to them in orderly sequence, saying, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, a certain object coming down like a great sheet lowered by four corners from the sky, and it came right down to me, and when I had fixed my gaze upon it and was observing it, I saw the four-footed animals on the earth, and the wild beasts, and the crawling creatures, and the birds of the air. And I also heard a voice saying to me, arise, Peter, kill and eat. But I said, by no means, Lord, for nothing unholy or unclean has ever entered my mouth. But a voice from heaven answered a second time, what God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy. And this happened three times, and everything was drawn back up into the sky. And behold, at that moment, three men appeared before the house in which we were staying, having been sent to me from Caesarea. And the Spirit told me to go with them without misgivings, and these six brethren also went with me, and we entered the man's house. And he reported to us how he had seen the angel standing in his house, saying, send to Joppa and have Simon, who is called Peter, brought here. And he shall speak words to you by which you will be saved, you and all your household. And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, just as he did upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he used to say, John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. If God therefore gave to them the same gift as he gave to us also after believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could stand in the way of God, in God's way? And when they heard this, they quieted down and glorified God, saying, well then, God has granted to the Gentiles also the repentance that leads to life. I like this because it explains what happened in Acts 10. I don't have to explain to you what happened in Acts 10. Peter explains to you what happens in Acts 10. Peter explains to us what's taking place here in Acts 10. He fell upon them. In verse 15, he says, I don't want to go back and go through the vision and all that because Bradley went through that very well. But Peter had to be convinced. I know part of that vision was him to be convinced that he could go to this guy's house. You have to understand, good Jews wouldn't even walk on the same side of the street as a Gentile. They saw a Gentile coming, they'd move, go across the other side of the street. They wouldn't even walk next to them. And it's still similar to that today. Some of the, you know, I've told you about my trips sometimes. I get in trips, airplanes out of New York a lot of times, or out of Newark, or out of the East Coast, you get on planes, and it's full of Jews. You say, well, how do you know they're Jews? You know. You're from New York, aren't you? You ever seen the Hasidim? The Hasidim Jews up there with all the curly cues and the little flat hats? Yeah. I was on a plane not too long ago, and there was a whole flock of these guys. We were all in the immigration line trying to get back into the country, and they were all running around, you know. And they're fast, too, you know. They had their little suitcase, and, you know, they run this way. And I was getting out of their way. And, you know, they're all speaking Yiddish. And, you know, and I was afraid that one guy would drop something. And I was afraid to touch it. You know what I'm saying? You hear me now. I was afraid to touch it because I figured if I touched it, he'd have to throw it away or something. You know what I'm saying? Because I knew some of these laws, you know. And so I just say, hey, you dropped something there. I'm not joking, you know. So Peter had a great fear of, you know, going to Gentiles' homes and sitting down with them. And you notice they said, you ate with them, you know, because that's really off the ball there. You know, wasn't kosher, you know. But Peter went. You know, guys, this is how we had the stuff up there on the board earlier, the five things. This is how some of this gets done, you know. You have to be willing to do something. You got to get out of your comfort zone a little bit. Peter was way out of his comfort zone. But you know what? The gospel came to the Gentiles. You know, can we stretch it this far and say the reason you're here today is because Peter went that day? Because Peter obeyed? You're here today. I'm sure God would have got somebody else if Peter didn't do it. He probably could have found a woman somewhere that would do it, because they always... I like to rub that in the guy's face a little bit, you know, because when I found out the girls in Iran are the ones running things over there and getting the church and moving for God, I got so excited about that. It wasn't because they're girls. I was just thinking, yes, God, go for it. God has such a heart for people. The Holy Spirit, look at him here. Look at him here. It's a him. Look at him falling on these people, embracing them. He does that quite a bit. And I feel like, you know, I want to say it. I believe that that's something God wants to do to people. You know, when he was explaining himself to the group of men back at the apostles and the disciples back in Jerusalem, he said, "I remembered the word that the Lord had said, that John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit." There it is, guys. That's what was happening at Cornelius' house. They were being baptized with the Holy Spirit. That's what it looked like. Peter explained what took place. He was so, I mean, I can just see him standing in awe. Look what they said. When they heard this, they all got very quiet. Now, I want you to understand, for Jewish people to get quiet, it takes quite a bit. You know, they were, my friend I'm going to visit in New York next week, he's from a Jewish background. He didn't know that for many years, but he found out he's got Jewish background. And he's discovering his, you know, you do these DNA things, you can find out your family line and stuff. And he's finding out he's got a little Jewish stuff because he's from Long Island. I kind of thought it over years anyway because, you know, he kind of looks Jewish in a lot of ways. I know that sounds a little bit, you know, but, you know, there is a look about him. Everybody thought my brother and I were Jewish whenever we were young, because I guess something about the way we look. I remember when I was in the military, they thought I was Jewish. But I'm not Jewish, you know. I'm not Hebrew in background or anything like that. But my friend is. And we have fun with that, because he lived in Long Island for many years. And my wife went to visit them one time, and it was Friday around 6 o'clock. Gary, because he was Gentile and the only Gentile in the area, he would go across the street and turn all the lights off for the Jewish families in the neighborhood and do things that they needed to have done, because they were very Jewish and they couldn't do anything, you know. You know what I'm talking about, Barb, Doug? They can't turn on lights. So he'd have to go over and do certain things. I don't remember what it was exactly, but I got a kick out of that because he was a Gentile neighbor, you know. They didn't care if he was polluted, you know. It's just come in and turn the lights off, turn them on, or whatever, you know. They cook food the day before, so they don't have to. Yeah, but anyway, a lot of that in this culture here, and you know, for them to step across the bounds, to step across that boundary and be a part of, to bring something to the Gentiles. I'm trying to bring this out, show you how radical this was. It's a radical thing. And I think it was very important for them to see how God received these Gentiles. How God, you know, this is the first opportunity they got a chance to see what God thought of Gentile people. And the Holy Spirit just fell on them. There was no teaching on the baptism. There was no teaching on tongues, interpretation. There was no teaching on gifts. There was no teaching on what to expect. There was none of that. He just fell on them. with power. And they were lost in God. I like that. I like that. I probably preached long enough. Would you want to hear a story? You probably knew he was going to hear one anyway, didn't you? I wasn't really asking for affirmation on that. It was just one time years ago, probably 15 years ago. You know, I go to Mexico quite often. I think it was in 2000. It was in 2005, 14 years ago. We went down to Mexico, me and a friend of mine, and we preached in a lot of little churches in little little towns. And we went to a town, Israel, I don't know if you know where Nangital, you know where Nangital is? Probably not. It was a very little town, very little place. By the way, Israel's from where I go in Mexico. Yeah, he's got family down there, and I'm excited about that. So we're talking about maybe hooking up on a trip sometime so we can go down there and get to meet his family and stuff. But anyway, we were in a little town called Nangital, the little pastor's name there was Umberto and his wife, Janet. And I can still see them today. They're very young pastors. And they had church in a car wash. You know these open car washes? I don't think we even have them. Yeah, we do. We used to have some similar to that. But it's just a big open car wash. There they don't have automatic car washes. They have this building and you go in and there's guys washing your car. Well, I think the car wash was closed and they'd set up chairs and we'd have church in the car wash. All right. Well, we'd had church there a couple days. I think we were going to be there two nights and maybe a day. We had a day because I taught during the day in a leaders meeting. And that evening, we had a meeting. And we'd had some really neat meetings with these. I mean, this is all new to a lot of people. And a lot of people were getting saved, becoming Christians. And a lot of people were alcoholic. And we were praying for them to be delivered from alcoholism and stuff. And that was... God was doing a lot of work there in this little community. And, you know, they were a relatively new church. You understand most of Mexico is a form of Catholicism. So for an evangelical church to be going on in there and evangelism be taking place, it was unusual in this little village town. You know, it's near Coatzacoalcos. You know where Coatzacoalcos is? It's near there, Nangital, Minatitlan, and it's in that area there. Okay, that night, Ben, my friend Ben, had preached, and he said, I'd like to pray for you all tonight. And when Ben meant that, he meant he'd pray for them one at a time. When I go with Ben somewhere, we'd pray for everything that moved. That's just the way. He'd have me start at the back, and he'd start at the front, and we'd meet in the middle. That's just the way it was, you know. And we'd pray for everybody. So I figured we was just going to do one of those things, you know, just pray for everybody. And so he asked people to stand that wanted prayer and was going to invite them forward. And Ben said, all of you over here that want prayer. And he waved his hand like that. And suddenly, I'd never seen this before, the Holy Spirit fell on these people. I mean, it was obvious. The Holy Spirit fell on these people. And they all began to pray, speak in tongues, and glorify God. I was like, well, I didn't know they were speaking in tongues, but I found out later they were. Because I had to ask Pat, what were they doing? You know, I didn't know what was going on because I couldn't tell Spanish from tongues, you know. But I, you know, God shows up. Friends, I want to say this. When the heart is open, when the heart is willing, God shows up in unusual ways. And I share that story so you know that this is not just history. This is current stuff, you know, it's still happening, you know, it still takes place. Because I saw it with my own eyes. I stood there as an observer, like Peter, you know, whoa, I guess we can't refuse to baptize these folks, you know. Because it was an amazing display of God's goodness and God's power and God's love for these dear people. They were very simple people, very, you know, simple people. And I share that story with you so you'll kind of realize that you get out into other places, God's still moving in powerful ways. And that took place. And I don't share that as a testimony for me. I mean, nothing I did. I was just standing there observing it, you know. So anyway, let's stand together and pray. And we'll do communion. And as you commune today, just open your heart up to God. I just want to encourage you to open your heart up to God the way Cornelius did. Maybe you're a God-fearer here today and you've never went the full route with Jesus. I think Brad encouraged you that last week, but I just want to say to you, you know, there's a fine line between a God-fearer and someone who's come to Christ, so let's make sure you know where you are with Jesus today. Open your heart up to Him. Father, thank You for this time together with Your people. Thank You, God, for Your love. Lord, I just want to be thankful for the way You embraced my life, Lord God, many years ago. How when people are lost and when people are separated from You, Lord, You're so happy to embrace them and welcome them home when they come to You. You never turn us away. Thank You, Lord. I appreciate that. And I pray today as we take communion, Lord God, we'll be reminded of the love of God. We'll be reminded of the inclusiveness of God, how You include us. You included us Gentiles in Your promise of faith. You included us in heaven, Lord. You want to bring us to be with You where You are. And I ask You to bless us today, Father, as we go from this place. In Jesus' name.